Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and tell him you look good today. Come on. Look at him and tell him you look good. Tell him it's good to see him. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today again about what I shared last week. Sometimes, I said this in the first service this morning, I'll know a series ahead of time and we'll begin to promote it. And then other times, I discover a series when I'm literally baptized into what God is speaking to my heart on. And last week and this week, I want to talk about this subject just up close and personal. And I'm learning the older I get, the more that I need to have that up close and personal relationship with Jesus in my life, in my home, in my family, and in the season that we are going through, Patty and I, in our home with the challenges that we are facing together, just causes us to come closer to him. And I'm not suggesting today that God's going to send you through calamity or difficulty to get your attention, but I am saying that no matter what you're going through, God will bring something good out of it, and he'll draw you closer to himself if you'll let him. We can let things push us away from God, but God says, I want you to allow me to come closer to you in the midst of whatever it is that you're facing and that you're going through. And I read this scripture last week out of Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, where it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. And I love that. In the New Testament, it says, 2 Corinthians 3, in the Message, it says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, it's just not an Old Testament verse, it says that God removes the veil and there they are, face to face with God. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a chiseled piece of stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. And we're free, all of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. You want to get good looking, get closer to God. Some of you need to get closer to him. No, I'm just joking. That's just a joke. We need his power. We don't just need his words. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. But he said, I came to you with a demonstration of the power of God's Holy Spirit, so that your faith may not rest upon men's wisdom, but on the power of God itself. We need the power of God, not just a bunch of words. We need an encounter. We don't just need more information. John 9, 17 and down through 25 and 30, the Bible talks about a blind man who came to Jesus, and the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and spit in the clay and took the clay, the dirt, and the mud, put it in his eyes, and then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did that and he came out, the Bible says that he was healed at that very moment. And the religious people, they couldn't understand that because their lives were so satiated with information. They didn't know what the power of God, what the power of Jesus could do. And as they tried to demean him and demoralize Jesus, when they came to the man's parents and he said, what happened? How did this happen? And they said, you're going to have to go and ask him. And when they asked him and they said, is this man, in verse 25, speaking of Jesus, is he a sinner or not? And the man said, I don't know who he is, but one thing I do know, I was once blind, but now I can see. And that's the testimony of us, to have an encounter with Jesus. And we need his presence in our life, not just some practice. We need practice, but we need the presence of God. In Romans 8 and verse 11, in the Message, it says, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead, look at this, moves into your life. He moves in. He doesn't just set up residence outside. He comes and he wants a place inside of you. He doesn't just want to hang with you. He wants to live inside of you. He says he'll do the same thing that he did with Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, and he does as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life with his spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ's body. Oh, hallelujah to that. And he gives you new strength In Isaiah 40, he gives you strength to the weary. He increases power to the weak. He gives you a new identity. Isaiah 43 takes away the former things, tells us not to dwell on them because he's doing a new thing. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are new. And he gives you a brand new joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Oh, thank God for the joy of the Lord. Come on today. It's our strength. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord a praise on that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And today I want to talk to you about worship just a moment. Not only worship in the sense of in the congregation, but worship in our lives outside. Worship in our regular, everyday, our lifestyles. Because the reality of it is, every one of us are worshiping something. Listen to me on that right now. Every one of us worships something. And we worship what we put value on the most. What we adore is what we worship. And God, he doesn't mind you and I having other things. You know, there's all kinds of things that people, I love a lot of different things. I love things now that I didn't love a few years ago. I love different things. And God doesn't mind us to love other things. But what he does mind is when we love those things more than we love him. When we worship those more than we worship him. Come on, are you listening to me today? And whatever you give your time, listen to this, your money and your schedule to, that is what you worship. Do I need to say that again? Whatever you give your time, your money, your schedule to, that is what you worship. Because God is not looking to just date you. Come on, for some of you, you need to put the ring on your finger and make the commitment. I'm all in. I'm into this. Romans 12, 1, 21. It says, for although they knew God, and he's talking about people that have a relationship, they knew God, and they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. What are you saying? They exchanged their worship for God to something that they made, to another person, or something that became more important to them than God. They exchanged it for something, and that is what they worshiped. And again, it's okay to have stuff and things in your life. But if they're ahead of your worship and your relationship with God, they're in the wrong place. Come on, can you say amen to that? There's five things that I jotted down that have relation to that. Number one, we have substitutions for our relationship with the Lord, for our worship, for some. And I'm just going to throw out a few things. I'm sure there's nobody here that will identify. It's, for some, it's golf, cars, hunting, guns, football, the gym, ourself, our career. And there's nothing wrong with any of these as long as they don't come before him. I was sitting with a brother a couple months ago. I was telling him some of my daily regimen, that at what time I get up in the morning. He said, brother, do you get up? Because I get up at 5:15 and I'm off to the gym in the morning. He says, I want to ask you something. Do you get up at 5:15 and spend time with the Lord before you go to the gym? And he challenged me on that. I'm thinking, hey, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I got God fit into my schedule every day. But was he first in my life every day? And now, before I do that, I make him first in my life. Because even if it's good for you, it doesn't take the place of God's position in your life. Deuteronomy 6, 14 and 15, it says, don't follow other little g gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, he is a jealous God. He wants you to spend time with him like you spend time with other things. He wants you to get up early and spend time with him like you go spend time for me at the gym. He wants some people to show up 4 hours early for him like they do for the football game. Nothing wrong with that, but are you doing it for the Lord as well? He wants you. He's jealous. He wants your life, your mind, your priorities to be in line with him being number one, to worship and to show your attention and your adoration to. And we exchange that real relationship with God with our pride. We are only going to do certain things at a certain time, and nobody's going to make me do that. When it's time to worship God, it's not the time for our pride to take over and say, well, I don't particularly like that song, or I don't like that preacher, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. Let me tell you something clear and pure. That's pride. And the Bible says that God sets himself against the proud. Are you listening to me today? The Bible says in John chapter 12, he says, yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. Look at this. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. God help us. He's talking about leaders here that are worried about how they're looking to everybody else. And let me tell you something. If you're going to love God and you're going to worship him, you're going to give him all your heart and your life, you are not going to have everybody like you. Did you hear me? I said, if you give your life and your purpose and your worship and your praise over to God 100% of the time, you are not going to have everybody like you all the time. Not going to do it. That's why I'm so proud of a young man like Grayson. There's another young lady on there as well, Carissa Crossett. They were on there challenging. You think the people that were in the circle of the other young man were affirming them or loving them or showing them affection? No, they hated him for that moment. But I'm telling you what, I'd rather be hated for the gospel's sake than be hated for anything else in this world. Oh, come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a great praise in his house. And then there's the word hedonism that keeps us from our worship, keeps us from our relationship with God. I'm sure many of you know what that word is. It's the belief that pleasure or happiness should be the goal of our life. Well, I just want to be happy. If it feels good, do it. The only problem with that is that your feelings could send you to the pathway to hell. God is not just interested in us being happy all the time. In fact, some of the times when you serve the Lord, you will not be happy. But I want to tell you something. In the end, you'll be fulfilled. Because happiness, that the Bible says that the pleasures of sin only last for a moment, a season. And after that, you have to pay for those negative mistakes. And hedonism says that you measure the extent of your life based on how happy you feel. Not on your morals, just on your feeling. All I want to do is be happy. And even if sometimes it happens in our worship to God, I'm just going to touch back on this. If the right song isn't sung, if the right preacher isn't preaching, then I'm not happy, and I'm just going to shut off. That's, my brothers and sisters, that's clear and pure hedonism. That's, if it doesn't feel good to me, I'm not going to engage in it. Oh, just if one person would amen me right now, just help me to get past this point just a little easier. I'm just joking. I don't care if you amen me or not. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, look at this, let us continually offer to God. What makes us happy all the time? Look at it. What's it say? A sacrifice. I feel like preaching in this house today. I've been in two services this week that were African-American. They preached and worshiped. My God, I felt like a stiff in that place. I made up my mind. I'm going to come back home into this mostly white church, and I'm going to preach with power, with anointing. We offer the sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving to his name. Not a bump on a log. We offer no matter what is going on in our lives. When my wife and I, when we got the news what she was facing, when she was going through her first chemotherapy treatment a little over a week ago, we held hands and we said, God, we thank you that you are more than enough. We praise you, God, that even in the darkness of our moment right here, that God, you're going to lift us up and you're going to get glory out of this some way, somehow. We love you. That's a sacrifice of praise. Not going to be a spectator either. I'm not going to watch. I'm going to get engaged. I'm not good at just watching. When we were in Ireland, some of the Americans, they took on the Irishmen in soccer. And I'm telling you what, I wish I had Grayson and Gabriel and Jordan Gardner. These guys can play soccer, but our guys, not much. I didn't go out on the field because, I mean, they're falling on the ground, picking the ball up with their legs, throwing it in the air. You know, I'm old enough to know I'm not that smart, but I'm not that stupid either. But I'm telling you, I'm over on the side, and I want to win. I'm telling you I want to. You say, you're competitive, Pastor? Yes, I am. And I'm competitive. For those of you who don't like competition, wait until your kid or your family, somebody, the enemy is trying to take them away. I'll fight for you. I'll believe for you. I'll contend for you. I will not give up and let the devil. That's what I'm most competitive about. But I stood on the side of that soccer game. I said, get him! Kick him! Pull his shorts off him! Slap him in the head! Do whatever you got to do. Get out there and win that game. I can't just be a spectator. I'm not good at it. I'm used to getting engaged and being a part. And the Bible says in James 4, verse 8, come close to God. Guess what? When you do, he comes close to you. Look at that. Come close to God in your worship. Get engaged in him. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. And then some, they've traded their worship, their closeness, their commitment to tradition. Oh, I love this. And let me tell you something. I love tradition. I like things that are traditional. I do, but not to the point where I trade my relationship for some kind of a method. There are very good traditions, but they're not good when they take the place of an up and close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I happen to like pews, okay? I guarantee you, you'll not see a pew in heaven. I happen to like stained glass window. Okay, to me, they're just too expensive. You won't see them in heaven either. Traditions, they're nice, but they're not matched with the relationship that you and I must have with Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 15, Jesus said, he replied, why do you break the command of God? Look at this. For the sake of your tradition. Well, I don't think there should be drums and a guitar playing at a church. I do. And I love it. And I was at Kingdom Bound, and who can tell me the guy that played the guitar with the kilt? Ron Thurber, do you remember that guy's name? This guy got up on the stage. Paulie, he was almost as good as you. No, he had a kilt on. I can't think of his name. And I'm telling you, what was it? McFarlane, Will McFarlane. This guy, he ripped that guitar, hit that thing, and he said, let's just worship God right now. And he blew tradition out the sides of that tent up there. I thought, this is so cool. Not just because of the guitar, but because of what was in his heart. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Jesus said, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? He says, you nullify the word for God of God for the sake of your tradition. He says, you're a hypocrite. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts, they're far from me. So what does it mean? What does God want from you and I? First, he wants us to thank him and have a sincere affection for him in all that we do. Look at the Bible says that God is looking. He's looking. 2 Chronicles 69, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully, whose hearts are fully committed to God. Not in tradition, not spectators, those who are committed to God. He's looking for people who are totally committed to Him, who want to be up and close and personal, who are sick and tired of just flirting with Him, who are all in and have made the commitment. They're connected to Him, not just when they're in trouble either. They're connected to Him 24/7. So in the days of trouble, they can call on the name of the Lord and He'll answer them and show them great and mighty things because He has a relationship with you at all times. And next, we need to offer Him the control of our lives. Total control. Come on, my brothers and sisters. And part of this goes with us serving. Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, of the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead, living, alive. Some people say, well, I'll die for God. I'll die for Jesus. He wants you not only to die for Him, He wants to know, will you live for Him? Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. We need to stop having a part-time relationship with Him. We need to quit looking to others to fulfill the hole in our lives. My son Ryan taught on Thursday night. He did a phenomenal job. And he taught on serving. And I thought this was so appropriate to connect with. If God's going to have control of our lives, we're going to serve Him. I took away a couple thoughts from that. I just thought it was a perfect place to insert them. Never, number one, never get too big or too important to serve. Because when you're at that place, you're in a dangerous place. I came here this morning. Chris is in New York City. The plants were out there. Some of the doors were locked. I got here early. I started opening doors, wheeling out the plants, doing it. Somebody came in. They said, I didn't know you did that kind of stuff. Why, of course I do. I picked up garbage a few weeks ago. I'm around picking. You know, I got to tell you, I'm just going to be full disclosure. Broken beer bottles, it's the mainstay around here all the time. I praise God for break the beer bottles on the church. Amen. Means that you're mad at us for the gospel's sake. Okay. I'm out there cleaning them. I'm thinking, here I am. A pastor. I'm out here sweeping in the park. What's people going to think of me when I'm out here sweeping? And the Spirit of God came on to me. You remember where you came from? I even think He called me a name, but I can't put that on Him. I didn't know. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I love sweeping up this broken glass. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, here's some old. I won't tell you what else I found out there. It was bad, though. I almost did, but there's. Never get too big or too important to serve. Number two, never do it to be seen. Because the greatest blessings come from when only you and God sees you. Did you hear that? Number three, serve when it's inconvenient. Number four, serving at its best is when there's nothing in it for you and you can't get paid back for it. That is serving. And number five, I said this earlier. I had this lady come up to me at Kingdom Bound. Oh, Pastor Marty, everybody I meet talks about, they say how great you are. Everybody I meet says how wonderful you are. Everybody. I said, you haven't met everybody, have you? What do you mean? I said, not everybody likes me. Oh, yes, they do. I go, no, they don't. And I don't care. But I know that not everybody likes me. Because, number five, everyone won't even like you or treat you well when you serve them. I'll never forget years ago. I was at a men's retreat in Rochester. We were in this little restaurant across the street downtown. Sitting there having coffee. A couple other pastors with me. A lady walks in. Please, can you help me? I need money for a bus ticket. Listen, I was born at night. I wasn't born last night. But, you know, that was one of my first lessons. I need money. Please, if you don't give me money. And I reached in my pocket. Okay, here's $20. And took them. I said, now, I want you to know that's God's money. She took, I mean, it wasn't 5 seconds. She looked at me. She goes, please forgive me how I'm going to say this, but if I don't say it this way, you won't get the whole effect. I said, that's God's money I'm giving to you. She looked at it. She said, the hell it is God's money. That's my money. Put it in her pocket and went out that door. Don't get so startled like you never heard a preacher talk like that before. I'm trying to make a point here. Amen. Come on. Everyone won't like you when you treat them well or when you serve them, but you serve anyway. It's part of your worship. It's part. Come on, give the Lord a praise on that. Will you do that? Because worship is engaging. And lastly, I'm closing on this. Debbie, if you'd come up. Include him in every part of your life. Every part. In your decisions, in your family, in your marriage, in your plans, in your future plans. Take him with you wherever you go. And if you can't take him where you're going, don't go there. He wants your worship and my worship. Amen. Come on. Do you love him today? Put your hands together. Give him a great praise in his house today. Hallelujah. Close your eyes by your Benjamin. Come on up here. I want you to close for me. Jesus wants to be prayerful. Come on down here. Jesus wants to be first in your life. Wants to be number one. And if he's not that today, before you leave here today, you should come down here and say, will you pray for me? They'll ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you want him in your life? And give you that beautiful privilege and opportunity right here before you leave this morning. Going through a challenge, trouble in your life, don't leave. Come down. Receive prayer this morning. Let God, let the power of Jesus touch you. Relationship messed up in your life, let God change you. Let him help you. Let him lift you up. Let him bring life and encouragement to you. Benjamin, close in prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for what the word that was communicated to us. We opened our heart to it and we put it deep inside of us as a seed to let it come out of us as we're going through our week this week. Lord, I pray a special blessing on every person here for honoring you with their time today. I pray that you'll bless them and their families at whatever they put their hands to this week. Lord, we serve you, we honor you, and we give you our hearts today. In your name we all said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap today. How many of you are glad you were in church today? Amen. God bless you today. I hope you have a wonderful week. God bless you. If you need prayer, please come up. We would love to pray with you.